Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I'm going to invite you to go to Acts chapter 11. Acts the 11th chapter. And we shall begin there this morning. Acts chapter 11. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Find that passage. We're going to maybe look at some others also this morning, but we'll begin there. Acts chapter 11. Got it? Let's go in our, let's go to verse number 25. It says, Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul, or we know him as Paul. And it says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, I want to, I've had this message for a while. You know, it kind of works like this, you know. Sometimes as a pastor, I have to, and as a minister, you have to watch this. God can talk to you about something, and then you go preach it to the church, and he didn't want you preaching to the church. He's just talking to you. And so I have messages that I've gotten ready that I still haven't preached. I got some from years ago. And I thought, man, I'm going to preach this, man. And I get ready to preach it, and it's like, nuh-uh. I don't know how to explain it. If you're a preacher, you understand. You look at it, and it just not talking to you. I have one friend, he said, it's not smiling at you. And I'm thinking, all right, this ain't smiling. This must just been for me, you know, not for the church. And so this message, I've had it for a little while, but I didn't know if I was going to get to preach it or not. But now I'm glad I get to preach it. Praise God. So I'm going to preach it to you. What are you going to preach on? I'm going to talk about living. Well, listen, this is a title, longer title, Living Clean for the Anointing. Amen. That just sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah. I hope the message is as good as the title. I'm real proud of the title. Living Clean for the Anointing. All right. I can't take any credit for what the Holy Spirit just kind of spoke to me. Living Clean for the Anointing. Now, excuse me. It would be news to a lot of Christians today to know that they have an anointing. You know, a lot of people think about anointing. They think about the pastor, they think about preachers, but they don't think about them. But yet, here in this scripture we just read, it said the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, the word Christian, you could say it means Christ-like, right? But it's deeper than even that. It does mean Christ-like, but what does Christ mean? Christ means the anointed one, right? So in other words, at Antioch, they started talking about the church and saying these people are anointed ones. They have an anointing. Well, the Bible tells us in John, 1 John and Corinthians, 1 or 2 Corinthians, it says that we have an anointing. There's an anointing. Are you with me now? So not just the preacher has an anointing, but you have an anointing. You say, well, what's the anointing for? I have goosebumps? Well, no, that's not what the anointing's for. The anointing, John said it like this. He said, you have an anointing and you know all things. The King James uses the word unction, but it's literally the word anointing. And then he went on in verse 27 of John, 1 John chapter 2 and said, the anointing that abides within you. You have an anointing that abides within you. Everybody say, I have an anointing. That abides within me. Okay, now look happy when you say it. I have an anointing. That abides within me. I got an anointing and it abides within me. Wow. I'm sure that really thrilled the Holy Spirit when you said it like that. How many know we have an anointing that abides? What is the anointing? Well, here, listen now. The anointing, when he said it teaches you, one thing it teaches you, what does it teach you? Well, what you need to know, right? So the anointing, what is the anointing? Well, let's just say it like this. You could say a lot of things, but the anointing is a deposit of the Spirit that God's given you when you got born again.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, when, you know, there's an Old Testament type for this in Leviticus chapter 14, and talks about the cleansing of the leper. You know, leprosy in the Old Testament's a type of sin. And when the leper was cleansed, they put blood on him. They put blood on his, you know, the tip of his right ear, his thumb, and his, you know, and his big toe. And they did that. They put what they called the trespass offering, the blood. But after they put the blood on, then the priest would put oil on where the blood was at. They put oil on the blood of the trespass offering, which is a type that when we get born again, God anoints us with an anointing. Hallelujah. See, John, you know, in his gospel said, he said it this way, that Jesus said, "I'll send you another comforter." Now that word comforter just means, you know, a lot of things. I mean, it's the Amplified Bible like gives seven different meanings of the word comforter, but one of them is helper. Now the New King James Bible says, you'll get another helper, someone that will help you. Well, I have found out just in personal life that there's someone with me to help me. Now he doesn't, you know, it isn't like he makes this big noise. You got to be sensitive, and you got to have faith for his help, and you got to be listening and be spiritually attuned. But I've noticed that he'll lead me and he'll guide me and he'll direct me. Hallelujah. I have an anointing. In other words, I have an advantage and you have an advantage over normal people. The advantage is you got someone living on the inside of you. Amen. And so, well, you know, John said it like this, you know, he said, "Greater is he that's in you." Come on, anybody know the rest of that? Than he that's in the world. So, and I've said it like this, and I like this analogy. Paul talked about being troubled on every side, being distressed, perplexed, but he said, we're not in despair, we're not defeated, so forth, and so on. That's not the exact words, but basically he was just saying that we're having issues, but it's not overcoming us. And he said, the reason why we have a treasure in this earthen vessel. We have something in this earthen vessel. We have something that's greater in this earthen vessel than it's greater than it's on the outside. Oh, think about that. See, the greater one's inside of us. I've talked to you about this before. It's kind of like a football. A football has greater pressure inside of it than all those fat men jumping on it. You know, that ball, you watch football, if that ball gets loose, I mean, they go crazy after that ball. And they all pile on it and they jump on it. And so forth. You'll see the refs try to get in there and break it up and find out who's got the ball, you know, and so forth. Well, why didn't that little ball pop? Because the pressure inside of it's greater than the pressure on the outside. We need to know that we have greater pressure inside of us, hallelujah, than the pressure on the outside. Now, if you don't know that, you'll let the pressure on the outside dominate you. But you've got a dominating force living on the inside of you. The pressure on the inside of you is greater. And you can call a different, you could talk about the Holy Spirit, you could talk about the glory, you could talk about the anointing, but it all comes from the Spirit of God, right? That is the same source, praise God. Are y'all with me now? So we have, everybody say, I have an anointing. Not just an anointing for preachers, but you have an anointing to live life. I have an anointing to live life. I have an anointing to minister to you. God will put an anointing on you to minister to others, but he has an anointing for you to live victorious. Amen. So, you know, I like there's a scripture in Psalm 89. It talks about David, and God said, I've anointed him with my holy oil. And he said, the enemy, the King James uses the word, shall not exact upon him. And that's, you know, that's a little muddy to understand that. It's older stuff, older English. But the New King James says this, and I like this. It says, the enemy will not outwit him. Why? Because he's got the anointing oil on him. The enemy's not smarter than the anointing. Amen. Can I tell you that in the natural, the enemy's smarter than all of us put together? Now, he's stupid because he, you know, anybody who thinks they can take God on has got some brain damage. But just the natural things, I mean, he's been around a lot longer than you have, right? And so he knows some things. But when the anointing comes on you, hallelujah. I said, when the anointing comes on you, you can know things, see things, do things you couldn't do without the anointing. Amen. Now, see, I have to depend on the anointing. My job depends on the anointing. You know, if I get up to speak to people and the anointing doesn't come, we're all in trouble. Now, you know, that doesn't happen very often, but it has happened before. Now, when I was a young preacher, if there was, you know, wasn't a whole lot of anointing for whatever reason, maybe I missed it, maybe y'all missed it. Maybe y'all were just dead. Okay, I missed it. You're not accepting the blame very much, all right? But, you know, there could be different reasons. You know, there have been times where, you know, and when I was a young preacher, I just kept going on until maybe we hit something here. As an older preacher, I've learned to just go home. I've gotten smarter. I've just, well, I'm going to keep plugging away. We'll hit a stream here. And I finally, I'm just going home. I'm going to lunch. Amen. Amen. Now, but, so I understand a little bit about that anointing because I have to depend on it, you know, if I'm going to speak, because I'm not a public speaker. You understand? I'm not a public speaker. Well, you public speak. Yeah, but that's not what I am. I wouldn't choose to be a public speaker. The class I hated the worst, other than algebra, don't tell Teach, other than algebra, the class I hated the worst was speech class. Did y'all ever have speech class? Yeah. You know, we had to get up and give speeches. I thought that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Why do we need to do this? I'm not going to talk to people. You know, not just go out and on purpose talk to people. If they talk to me, I'll talk to them, you know. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get up front and talk. Why do I need speech class? But so it's not like a natural gift. It's an anointing. Amen. Now, so we have to understand now there's an anointing. And what does the anointing do? Anybody know what the anointing does? Isaiah says the anointing destroys the yokes. It removes the burdens. Right? So if we have yokes that are on our life or burdens, the anointing will remove the burdens, destroy the yokes. That's the job description of the anointing. And if burdens are, you know, we all have attacks, don't misunderstand that part, but if burdens are overtaking you and yokes are overtaking you, you need more anointing working in your life. That's just all there is to it. The more anointing, see, the anointing will destroy that. It'll, you know, and I realize when yokes start getting on me or burdens start getting on me, I know, man, I need to get under the anointing. I mean, I need the anointing. I mean, I need to step back into the anointing. You know, because sometimes you can fight your battles naturally and you step out of the anointing. Amen. You know, I use something called a Sawzall. Anybody ever use a Sawzall? You know, the key to a Sawzall is don't you try to force it. The more you try to do it, the slower it cuts. But if you just let it do its work, man, it just cut right through it, man. I mean, you got blades for wood, you got blades for metal. You know, I mean, I've cut through. You know, it took. You know, when I first used a Sawzall, I would like, because I'm that way. You know, I'm like, if one's good, three's better. You know what I'm saying? So this can tell you know, if the recipe calls for one, two's better, man. You know, and so it doesn't always work that way, but that's just the way I think. And so, man, I'd push on that thing, think, man, this thing, you know. I could cut it with a butter knife easier than this. But when I learned, the key to it is let the saw do the work, and it'll just right through it, you know? Well, that's the way it is with the anointing, see? You got to learn to let the anointing do the work. You got to learn to depend on the anointing. Hallelujah. Instead of you doing it, you wear yourself out. But when the anointing's there, praise God, hallelujah, it makes a difference, amen? So what I want to talk about, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 52, but I just wanted to open that scripture up to you there in Acts and talk about the fact that you have an anointing. Hallelujah. There's an anointing inside of you. Now, Isaiah 52, because we're going to talk about living clean for the anointing, because how we live does affect the anointing on our life, you know, our personal anointing. Now, you know, God anoints, for instance, you know, I remember, you know, I lived through the I don't know what you want to call it. I'm going to use the right word here. But, you know, I lived through all the preacher debacle in the 1980s. You know, the preachers that were getting into sin and getting into trouble, and it was really a bad time to be on television as a preacher or be a preacher, period, because everybody's so suspicious of you that, you know, you had a woman on the side or something going on and you're financially impure or something. You know, because this was some high-profile preachers, you know, bit the dust and all. And, you know, one of them said this, one of them that was really high-profile. He said, well, I thought everything was okay because I still having, you know, great meetings. Well, you know, and here's what I learned by that. There's a huge difference in the anointing to minister to somebody and the anointing to live your life. Now, you know, when Paul talked to the church at Ephesus, the elders in Acts chapter 20, the thing he told them, he said, take heed to yourselves and then to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Now, you know, you notice there, he said, take heed to yourself first, not the flock. Now, you would have thought he would have said, take heed to the flock and then to yourself. But see, Paul, he had a revelation. If you don't take heed to yourself, preacher, you're not going to be able to help the flock. In other words, if you don't keep yourself built up, you're not going to be able to help the flock. You need to not put yourself first, but you need to make sure that you're built up, that you stay in the anointing. And so this minister, he said this, you know, and he was a big-time minister, and he got into sin and he fell and he said, you know, he said, I thought everything was okay. God must not be that offended with this because I'm still having money still coming in. I'm still having good offerings. Crowds are still good. God's still moving in the services. Well, let me just say this. God's not doing that on your behalf. He's doing that on His people's behalf. Right? If He's doing it for, He's not doing it for you. But eventually, you know, he got in trouble. Now, what happened with him? Well, what happened to him was this. He didn't keep his personal anointing up. Because if you're keeping your personal anointing up, you're not sleeping with prostitutes. Good preaching, isn't it? Hallelujah. See, you're not sleeping with prostitutes. You're not doing things, you know, wrong with the money. If you're keeping your own, because while you're close to God, you don't, you're fellowshipping with Him, you don't do those things. Amen. You know, and he didn't do them overnight. You know, you just little by little, you get busy and you know, you're busy in the ministry and next thing you know, you're neglecting your own spiritual life and feeding yourself and spending time with God and you're compromising. What happens is, here's what happens. See, what happens is Paul said, your conscience gets seared. See, someone said this once, this is a good way to say it. Is this okay this morning? We're kind of having a little chat here today. Someone said this one time. They said, what defiles you will dull you, dull your spiritual hearing. If you let something defile you long enough, pretty soon it dulls you. And you don't have the perception that you once had. Like Paul told the church in Hebrews, he said, you're dull of hearing. You become dull of hearing. Now, they didn't start out that way. He said, you became that way. Now, how do you become that way? Well, you start letting things, you don't keep your conscience tender before God, you know, and you start compromising and you start letting things get in, and then the thing you know, the anointing's lifted off of you and you don't even know it. Yeah. Amen. Now think about it. Matter of fact, let's just read the scripture and I want to talk to you some more about that. Are you with me now? Yeah. Isaiah chapter 50. This will be a little different this morning, but I think it's going to help us. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 11. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. And verse 11 says, depart, depart, go ye out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. So if we're going to bear the anointing, he said, we need to live clean. If we're going to bear the anointing. Now, what I want to say to you is this. See, the Bible says you can quench the Spirit, you can grieve the Spirit, and it says you can resist the Spirit. Now, think about this. See, you know, I was talking about keeping your personal anointing up. How many know God called a man to deliver Israel by the name of Samson? Remember Samson? Now, Samson had a pretty strong anointing on his life. I mean, anybody can take the jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 people. He's got some supernatural power going on. I mean, some of the things he did, man, ripped the gates of the city up. I mean, he had some power going on. And so, but God anointed him to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Now, when you read his story's not a good story. Because when you read his story, one thing I noticed here just last year in reading his story again, is that every time he ever attacked the Philistines, the only reason he attacked them was because they made him mad. That is it, for selfish reasons. If they messed with him, he messed with them. Other than that, he wasn't delivering Israel from the Midianites at all, or Philistines. Wasn't delivering from the Philistines at all. He was just doing it. If they messed with him, you know, he said one time, "You plow with my heifer," and he went after, burnt their fields down. You know what I'm saying? So, but here's the thing about Samson. Samson had a strong anointing, but he would mess with unclean things. He slept with prostitutes. And then one day he's with this Delilah lady, if you want to call her that. And I mean, this guy's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. She's asking, "Where does your strength lie?" He lies to her. And so she calls the Philistines to come and get him. And, you know, and then he stays with her. Can anybody figure this guy doesn't have a lot of brains going on? Amen. So she says, "You lied to me. You don't love me." "Well, who don't love who? You told my enemies." And so he tells her again. And the Philistines come. And he'd lied and he still had his strength. You know, he did it again. And finally, she pressed upon him until, you know, he couldn't take it any longer. And he told her where his strength was, you know, in his hair. You know, if he cut his hair, he broke the covenant with God, you know, Nazarite covenant. And he would lose his power because he was out of covenant with God. And so he told her the truth this time. She called the Philistines and they came and she said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He said, "I'm going to go out and shake myself like other times." Now, what is he saying? He's saying, "I've been living loose, but every time I shake myself, that anointing comes back. I'm going to go out and shake myself again." But the Bible said he didn't know the Spirit of the Lord had left him. The Holy Ghost didn't announce, "I'm leaving you." He just left, quietly left, and he lost that anointing. Now, you know, there's something we can learn from that. And here's what we can learn. See, if we don't keep up our personal anointing, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, if we resist the Holy Spirit, if we quench the Holy Spirit, then there'll come a time when it'll be the Philistines that wakes us up that we don't have the anointing working in our life like the anointing should be working. Now, even people can say what they want. I hear all kinds of people preach all kinds of things that have no Bible, no Scripture for it. Just because you're on TV, just because you got a microphone, doesn't mean you got Scripture for what you're saying. You don't say, "Well, the anointing will never leave you" and all that. Well, listen, the anointing can get stronger or weaker in your life, and you just got to know that. And anybody that's been in ministry, I think, could have enough brains to figure that out. Amen. That is stronger at times than it is at other times. Well, why is it? Well, sometimes we're not in the flow like we need to be in the flow, right? Sometimes we're not, you know, maybe we've regrieved the Holy Spirit or we quenched him or something. It can happen. And so, you know, Samson lived his life in a way that he quenched the Holy Spirit. He grieved the Holy Spirit. And when it came time for him to need anointing, he didn't have it because he wasn't living clean. What about Saul? Saul was anointed, right? You know, King Saul we're talking about. He was anointed. But the Bible says when he died as though one who hadn't been anointed. What happened? Well, God called him, but the thing of it is, you got to live clean if you're going to live in the anointing. You got to live right. You got to live right. That doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But it just means that your endeavor to live clean. And thank God for the blood of Jesus that makes up the difference. Right? Thank God. The Bible says if we walk in the light, He is in the light, His blood cleanses us from all sin. So, you know, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. When we do miss it. But see, that's the heart. It's a heart that's going after God. Amen. All right. Now, go to Exodus chapter 30. You getting anything out of this? I don't know. I'm just making sure. Exodus 30. I don't know what I would do. I could go over to some other notes here, maybe. Find something else to preach on. But this is all right, isn't it? Or be like Jesse Duplantis said one time, said he was preaching a message, you know, and they had a fan on you know, on the stage, and it blew his, you know, he had paper notes. It blew his notes to another sermon. He said, when I came back, I started preaching the other sermon. I didn't even realize I'd blown off the, I preached two sermons. Didn't even know it. Till later, you know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, I started out on one sermon, preached another sermon. Well, that's all right. Most people wouldn't know it anyway. Exodus chapter 30. Are you there? Look at this. Now, this is talking about the children of Israel and the holy anointing oil that God, he told them how to make this holy anointing oil. And he gives them instructions here in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 31. It says, you shall speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Now listen to this. This is really good. Upon man's flesh it shall not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. In other words, listen, this holy anointing, this is a type of the anointing. This holy anointing oil, the Bible says, it's not supposed to be poured on flesh. God's not going to pour it on flesh. So the more we live in the flesh, how many know the less anointing we're going to have on us? God controls the anointing. How many know that? See, one of the things, now, don't get offended at me, but I just been at this a long time. See, a lot of people teach today, you know, trying to teach people how to, you know, pick their gift and use whatever gift of the Spirit they want. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says it's as the Spirit wills. He gives to every man individually as he wills. So if he didn't give you a gift, you can't pray. You can't believe for it, pray it. And I mean, you could ask for it, and if it's up, if he wanted to give it to you, he could. You know what I'm saying, right? See, now, God's used me over the years for many years in different gifts of the Spirit, different ones. But a lot of times, like in prophecy or interpretation of tongues, there's hardly a tongue that's ever given in a church, any place that I don't know. But I generally don't know what's being said, the gist of what's being said, because that gives there. But he hasn't hardly ever, I've hardly ever given messages in tongues because I don't have that anointing. I don't have that gift. And there's this to say, you know, and I know people think that, you know, well, I can just do this as I want. You know, we used to, we got into it, you know, years ago, talking about, you know, the Bible says you may all prophesy, so everybody can prophesy. Well, wait a minute here. You need to read that verse. You need to read that a little bit again. That's 1 Corinthians 14, and Paul says, talking to the prophets in the church. So you just got to read a little closer there. He didn't just talk about to just anybody. He's talking about to the prophets. He said, you may all prophesy one by one, and others may learn and let the other prophets judge, and so forth. So there's a lot of things that we mess up. You know, and you know what I'm saying. Sometimes prophetic words some people give, you know, they've got about as much power as, you know, kissing your mother-in-law or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They don't. Yay, 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 children! I went out to bread. Don't be afraid. Yeah, wow. All right, that didn't go over big, but it's just the truth. I mean, you know, come on, give me something with some punch on it. Come on, pal. So, are y'all with me? Y'all kind of like, I lost y'all now. I don't know, maybe. But anyway, it's just the truth, man. You would not believe some of the prophetic supposed words from God that I've heard over the years. Like, well, all right. We'll let that go. Yeah, a friend of mine, he told me one time, this lady got up and prophesied. He said, she got up and prophesied. She says, yes, as Joshua led the children through the Red Sea, as Joshua led the children out of Egypt, you know, all that. He said, she sat down. He said, it got real quiet, you know. And all of a sudden, she stands back up and says, the Lord thy God hath made a mistake. That weren't Joshua, it were Moses. Well, you know, the second one, their second mistake was worse than her first. And, you know, you know what I'm saying. Bless her heart, she was trying, but... you know, just a little off there, right? So, you know, and a lot of times people try to operate things that they don't have any anointing to do it, right? We had a guy one time, not here, but at the Revival Center. I mean, man, he just was sure he's called to preach. He was just sure. So he hounded, I want to preach. I didn't think he had enough in him to preach out of a wet paper bag, to be honest with you. But anyway, he wanted to preach. So he comes to me, you know, he says, you know, can I preach? Can I have a time to preach? Well, you know, Brother Eddie, I've been with him long enough now. He told me, he said, if you ever want to have anybody in, just go ahead and do it. I'm good with it. You know, I mean, I would let him know, of course. But he said, I trust you. But, you know, I just threw it off on Brother Eddie then. I said, you know, you'll have to talk to Brother Eddie about this. You know, not me. I'm just an associate. So you go talk to him, you know. So he did. Brother Eddie gave him a, you might have been at that service. All right. Brother Eddie gave him a time to preach, and he got up. And when he got up there, he realized he didn't have any anointing to do that. He gets up there and he just looks at us and he goes, there's no anointing here, and sat down. Well, there wasn't any anointing for you. Brother Eddie got up and preached after you, but or I did or somebody did. But anyway, so you know what I'm saying. You know, good man, loves God, but a lot of zeal, but not much sense. You know what I'm saying? You got to have the anointing to do the work of God, right? And so, you know, so Samson, you know, and Saul, they messed around. Saul just messed around until the anointing wasn't working in his life. Now, he could have gotten it back if he'd have repented and started living right. But I'm telling you, the same thing's true to us. I know God doesn't take His Holy Spirit from us, you know, when we miss it. I'm not preaching anything like that. We've all missed it. Right? But I'm just saying, if we just choose to live, you know, unclean lives, then we can't expect there to be much anointing for to help us to live out life. We're going to, first of all, if the Holy Spirit tried to talk to you, He wouldn't be able to hear Him because you got too much other stuff on your conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Yeah. So if you sear your conscience, you can't hear from the Spirit of God. So you got to watch what you do and how you live. And you say, well, this is just old school preaching. Yeah, it's exactly what the church needs to get back to, a little bit of old school preaching right now. And a little bit of just telling people, you know, you can't just live like that and expect to have the glory in your life. It's just not going to happen. I don't care what these smiley preachers are telling you on TV. They're not all telling you that. But there are some saying there's some got enough gall to say the teachings of Jesus are too harsh. Don't follow them any longer. Serious, you don't believe that? That's the truth. You know, I'm saying, well, you don't follow the teachings of Jesus now. They're too strong. Let me tell you something, man. Jesus is the head of the church. And who are you to dismiss His teachings? I don't think I'm going to listen to you any longer. I don't care if you were good in the past. You're not now. Oh, yeah, well, I actually know a guy who's sitting on the front row. I won't name who it was, but he was sitting on the front row. One of the preachers on TV, one of the big-time preachers on TV. He's been a good preacher for years, but he's kind of got off the rails a little bit here. And, you know, he's sitting on the front row. He's actually a friend of this preacher, this big-name preacher. They're friends. And he said, I'm sitting there on the front row. And he says that Jesus, he's talking about something Jesus said in the gospel. He said, well, Jesus made a mistake there. Did y'all hear that? Jesus made a mistake. He said, I said to him, excuse me, I think you misquoted that. You didn't mean to say that. He said, no, that's exactly what I meant to say. Well, that's my last day at your church. I'm sorry. But my Lord didn't make any mistakes. He didn't sin. He didn't miss it. And everything He taught was right on. You might not like it all, but it's right on. It might make you uncomfortable. Might make you feel a little, you know, sweaty under the collar, but it's right on. And so the moment you start teaching that you know more than Jesus, well, I'm done with you. I love you. Might pray for you, might not. Just depends. I don't know. Well, I might. I don't know. God might say this. Let him go. He's crazy. All right. Are we doing all right now? Yeah. Hallelujah. This is good preaching. Amen. Now, listen. Upon man's flesh is not to be poured out. Why? Because, see, God doesn't anoint flesh. He doesn't anoint flesh. You know, we're talking about flesh. Now, you say, see, the Bible tells us this about Jesus. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, it says that He was anointed. It says, well, first of all, it says that you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God's anointed you with the oil of gladness above everybody else. I thought about that scripture, Pastor. I thought about this. Jesus hated iniquity. He loved righteousness. And He was anointed with the oil of gladness more than anybody else. I don't know what that means. He was happier, more full of joy than anybody else. Jesus. You know, sometimes you see the religious movies about Him and He looks like He's about half depressed or on LSD or something. You know what I'm saying? I've seen some, He just looks starry-eyed like, man, what is Jesus? You know, what have they given this Jesus here? This isn't the same Jesus I see in the Bible. The Jesus I see in the Bible, man, He was full of joy. It's hard for people to imagine him that way. You know what I'm saying? Because religion's painted a different picture, but when you read the scriptures, he was different. If he had the oil of gladness more than anybody else, I'd think he was happy, wouldn't you? I wouldn't think he was this depressed cat, you know, just dark, gloomy cloud over him, you know. People get the idea, you know, he walked around carrying a sheep, not knowing where he was going, you know. Just, well, let's get up, see what we're about to do today. No, he's smarter than all of us put together, right? He had plans. He had ministry. He went places to preach. You know what I'm saying? The Bible said he went in a circuit teaching. You know, getting rid of unbelief. So, listen. So you got to have a different picture of that. Amen. Now, what was I going after before I got off on that? Anybody know? I doubt that you do. But anyway, I was going after something. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, and that preacher saying that Jesus made a mistake. Well, how many of you know Jesus never makes any mistakes? Everything he said is still good. Is that all right? Now, what I was after was this. All right, the Bible said he was anointed with the oil of gladness above everybody else. Now, I thought about that. I thought, now, wait a minute here. That must mean living clean makes you happy. Think about it. See, now misunderstand me. The Bible says that Moses, that he chose to suffer reproach with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So there must be pleasure in sin. But where is the pleasure at? See, it's your flesh that gets pleasure out of sin. It's your flesh. See, your flesh wants to sin. But it doesn't make you happy. It makes your flesh happy. You're born again. You are not your flesh. You are the man that's on the inside of you. How many follow what I'm saying? You're the spirit man. So it won't make you happy. It may temporarily make your flesh happy. See, your flesh still wants to do your flesh still wants to do things that are wrong. You just don't let it. Now you may say, well, I don't. Well, you're a liar. Because your flesh wants to lie. Sorry for calling you a liar. But anyway. Came out kind of strong, didn't it? But well, you know, you've been tempted to lie, you just yielded to it, right? And so anyway, hopefully it's not habitual with you, but yeah, everybody's flesh wants to do things that's wrong. It may be different areas. You know, when I was young, from a kid, I loved the smoke. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody that smokes, and I'm not telling you you're lost or unsaved or you're not. I'm just telling you my story, all right? Is that all right? Yeah. But I love to smoke. I started smoking when I was 4 or 5 years old. Well, how'd you do that? Well, Mom smoked. And, you know, she smoked those Salem cigarettes. And she'd lay them in the ashtray, and she's going around the house, running her sweeper, listening to Roger Miller, engine number time, rolling down the railroad line. She's sweeping. She's got them cigarettes. I'd go by and smoke them while she's sweeping. Put them back, you know, before she came in there. You know. Yeah, I'd even smoke. Even as a kid, man, I'd find stuff, just try to find stuff to smoke. Grapevine. Oh, man, talk about burning. That burn. But I just always liked to smoke. I always just liked to smoke, you know. And, you know, I mean, when I was, I don't know how old I was. I was 12 years old. I went down to the store. We had a little neighborhood store. You know, we lived out in the country. You know, out in a place called Willisville. Have you ever been to Willisville? Jordan, I know Randy's been there. We grew up there. Susie's been there. Jordan, you been to Willisville? he said on accident. That would about be the only reason you would go there, unless you knew somebody. There used to be a store there. You had a barber shop, because Randy and my dad would make us go to Butcher West when, you know, I don't care what length you told him to take off. He only knew buzz cuts, all he knew. Bzzz. How much you want to know about that much? Bzzz. And so every now and then, Dad would make us go to him, you know. And so, you know, there was another little community by us that's called Rumbletown. And Rumbletown had a grocery store. Well, I probably had three or four aisles, but anyway. And I went there one day. I had a little old Honda 70. I was just a little kid. Had a Honda 70 trail bike thing. I rode it there to go buy some cigarettes. You know, I'm like 12 years old. You know, I go in there. Thank God for good people that are paying attention. This lady that owned the store, I asked her for some cigarettes, Marlboros probably, because the Marlboro man was popular in those days. You know, he died from cancer, but anyway. Well, he did, really. He did. You know, he smoked his own product. But anyway, so I asked for some Marlboros. She goes, are these for you? Well, I said, well, of course not. They're for my dad. Well, where's he at? Well, she said, is he outside? I said, no. He had sent me down here to get them. Well, he'll have to come. You know what she did? She called my mom. I got home. My mom's loaded for bear, man. She's going to kill me. You know, well, you snitch, you. See if I try to buy cigarettes off you again. But even today, my flesh, now not like that, but my flesh will every now and then want to smoke something. Look how quiet it is. You know what I tell it? No. I mean, this doesn't happen all the time. Don't misunderstand. But it has happened. I mean, I'm walking down, you know, the street somewhere or sidewalk somewhere, and there lays a cigarette, full cigarette. And my flesh say, hey, pick it up. And I'll tell it. Y'all looking at me like, oh my God, Pastor, we got to get a new pastor. How about let's just be truthful and admit our flesh wants to do things sometimes, and we got to tell it no. That's part of what Paul said. I keep my body under. What does that mean? I have to tell it no. If I don't, it'll do things that'll disqualify me. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Come on, you got to read it. See, don't act. See, if you get to the place, you trust your flesh, you're going to get in trouble. You don't trust it. You walk in the Spirit. The Bible says walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what does that mean? If I don't keep myself in a place where I'm in tune with God, then that flesh is going to overpower me. Amen. And so I just got to make it behave, right? And that's by staying in the Spirit. Amen. See, if you approach that backwards where you try to, if you get it where, you know, if you don't yield to the flesh, you'll be in the Spirit. You'll never get in the Spirit that way. You're always, your center focuses on your flesh. Don't focus on your flesh. Focus on the relationship with the Spirit of God. You do that, the power will be there to tell the flesh, just shut up. You're not getting it. Amen. Right? I mean, has your flesh ever wanted to lie to get yourself out of trouble? I let it. Well, you're not supposed to. He's like one little boy said, some Sunday school teacher said, what is a lie? He said, it's an abomination to God and an ever-present help in time of trouble. Well, you know, you got to learn. You can't let your flesh do what your flesh wants to do. There's nobody that doesn't have flesh. Yeah, you're saved. You got a new spirit, man, but your body's yet to receive its redemption. According to Paul. So don't let that thing keep you out of the anointing. Make it behave. Amen. Come on, did you get something out of this? All right, praise God for it. Amen. So living clean is what makes you really happy. Sin makes the flesh happy, but it doesn't make you happy. And it's only for a short season anyway. Amen. So, you know, it's like, a lot of times, well, man, I'm telling you, we're Christians. We can't have no fun. We can't do anything, you know. I'm telling you, I'm going to find me another church where they don't have all these rules. Well, let me just say this to you. This aren't Oasis Church rules. These are Bible truths, commandments. These aren't our rules. If they was my rules, they'd be tougher. You don't tithe, you don't show up for church, you die. You get 3 unexcused absences a year. After that, you're out of here. Hell bound. So thank God they're not our rules, right? They're God's commandments. I mean, I saw, you know, like this guy, I mean, he's like a popular Christian guy, a popular Christian artist, and he says, I'm leaving Christianity. Well, all right, why? Well, there's just too many rules here. I thought, you just want to live like the devil. That's what your problem is, and you won't admit it. Let me tell you something about these rules. These rules aren't just rules. They're guardrails. You understand? So you don't crash your life. Amen? Amen? You know, you go up on a tall building or something tall, you want some guardrails there, don't you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you want some protection. You don't want to just be able to step out over the edge. I mean, you go to a ball game, you go on the second balcony. I mean, there's railing there. I mean, you could say, man, that's got me in bondage. I can't go everywhere I want to go. There's some places you don't need to be going. It's like a guy left Dr. Barclay's church. He said, and he started, you know how people are, you know, they can't just leave nice. They got to tell everybody on Facebook how dirty and awful you are, you know. And so this one of those guys, he's puking on the way out, you know. And he said, finally, I'm free. I mean, he's still telling this stuff on Facebook. It like pastor doesn't get access to Facebook. You know, I don't know what people think, but it's like, I'm free. I that was a cult over there. Dr. Barclay has a spirit of control. And the guy, I mean, he gets back into sin. I mean, he's drinking, he's doing drugs, but he's free now. So Doc's in the, you know, he's in his hometown. He's going into a store, and that guy's in there. And he says, can I talk to you? Doc said, no, I don't think so. He said, I don't want to be seen with you. Look at how quiet it got. Have you ever read the book of Corinthians where it said, don't fellowship with a brother that does certain things? Now, what it says, we don't practice that, but that's what it says. So when somebody does practice it, they're not in love. You know, sometimes you got to be a little, you got to have a little tough love to get people to repent. And so he says, no, he said, I really would like to talk to you, Pastor, if I can. He said, oh, don't call me Pastor. I'm not your pastor. And so Doc says, well, if you really want to talk to me, let's go here behind these racks and hide where nobody will see us. You know, Doc will play things up. He's just funny. So the guy goes in there and he says, he said, I left your church because you have a spirit of control. Well, Doc said, it must not be very strong. It didn't work on you. He said, and I've never been so free. He said, well, let's see, what are you free from? Do you go to church now? No. Well, you're free from going to church. Do you tithe now? No, you're free from tithing. Is that marijuana I smell on you? Well, I smoke a little bit. Okay, you're free to smoke marijuana. Is that alcohol I smell on your breath? Yeah. Oh, okay, you're free to drink. You're free, all right. See, your flesh is free, but your spirit's in bondage. You need to turn that around where your spirit's free and your flesh is in bondage in captivity to your spirit, man. Yeah, the guy free. Yeah, free, right. Free to go sin. Amen. This is good preaching this morning. You know, it's probably not the most popular message I've ever preached, but it's good. Amen. Now, let's look. We're closing, and then I'll pray for you. I went a little long here, but let's go. You're going to need some prayer. It's going to be a strong prayer this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know about you, but thank God for the anointing, see. Are you thirsty? You know, the Bible says that God will pour out His Spirit on those that are thirsty. He'll pour water, it says, out on those that are thirsty. Water being a type of the Spirit. He'll pour that out on those that are thirsty. You got to be thirsty for God, for His Spirit to be poured out on you. Amen. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, I'll close with this, and then I'm going to pray for you. And I don't imagine you're going to stick around long today. I've noticed that. You know, I know this man, if the service is really good and I preach really good, and people just hang around. But if it's like one of these, boom, they're gone. Prove me wrong, please, this morning. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, are you there? Verse 1, it says, wherefore, saying, we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses,
let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Everybody say the sin.
The sin.
Which does so easily beset us or ensnare us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. I want you to notice that he talks about laying aside every weight, which weights wouldn't necessarily be a sin, but it would be things that would slow you down in your spiritual race that you just don't need.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know, like maybe you watch too much TV or something. Or maybe you do something too much, maybe play golf too much. Or something, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with golf, right? There's nothing wrong with TV if you're watching decent things, you know. And so there's not necessarily anything evil with those things, but you could let them become weights in your life where they're more important to you than the things of God, and they would become weights, right? But then he said, lay aside the sin. Now, I think that's interesting the way he says that, because here's what I've discovered. With most people, there's that one sin that keeps snaring them up. It's not like a bunch of sins, but they got this one sin that they keep fighting. But once you get the victory over that, man, you're going to sell. Right? And he said, lay aside the weights and the sin, that one sin that's tripping you up. Now, you know, we all know what that one is in our life. We know that. Maybe you've laid it down. Thank God. I hope you have. But there's that sin that trips us up. It keeps us from running the race. I've dealt with people, and they've had that one error, that one sin, that one place, that one thing, you know. And sometimes they'll get discouraged. I remember I was dealing with a guy, and he had in my office one time in our church, and he was dealing with this sin. And, you know, and he was just, you know, he was really starting to get down on himself because he'd been dealing with this thing for a long time. And I said, look, here's the way this works. If you will, as long as you'll fight it, God, you know, God's there to help you. If you just decide, okay, I'm going to let you live here, you've just let an Amalekite, a Girgashite, you know what I'm talking about, those Old Testament enemies that Israel's supposed to run out of Canaanite, you've just let one of them live with you, and that's going to vex you your whole Christian life. That's going to be a thorn in your side. That's going to rob you of the anointing. I'm not saying you won't have any anointing, but you won't have it as strong as what you could have in your life. That's going to rob you of the blessing. I'm not saying you won't have any blessing, because God's good, God's merciful, and if he waits till we all get perfect, then as Pastor Chuck and I are the only ones that's getting anything. And so, you know what I'm saying? All right, I'm doubting about Pastor Chuck now. He got this funny look on his face. Let me know, if God's going to wait till we all get perfect, none of us are going to get anything. But I'm saying, if we just tolerate and allow the enemies of God to stay in our life, then it's going to affect the anointing on our life. It's going to affect the blessing on our life. But if we're fighting them, God's with us. I told this guy, I said, man, here's the way you do this. You keep swinging at it. Eventually, you're going to connect and knock the thing out of the ballpark, and when you do, it's over with. Now, I've learned that just from life, living for God. And, you know, all of us have had issues we've had to face. You know, maybe they don't seem big to some people, but if God's dealing with you, they're big. Amen. You know, if God's dealing with you to cut things off, you know, it's like, some people, you know, it may not seem big to the next guy, but it is big to you, right? I mean, you know, we know there's big, what we call big sins. But if God's dealing with you, it's big. If he's telling you to get rid of it. And you just keep swinging, you keep swinging, you keep swinging, you keep swinging. Eventually you connect. Amen. And you get rid of the sin. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you. Think about this morning. What is the sin that you need to get rid of? What is the thing? Could be attitudes. Could be your grumpiness. I know James doesn't have any of that, because he was shaking his head like, yeah, but I knew Mona wouldn't tolerate that. So, I know, James. Don't act like you got that one. Help me understand, we could all have different things, right? We need to get rid of it. We need to deal with it. Don't beat yourself up. Just attack it. Isn't that right? You don't beat yourself up if your house gets termites, do you? Oh, my gosh, I got termites. How could I let termites come into my house? I've got to be the lousiest father and husband on the planet. No good, respectful father and husband would allow termites to get in his house. That's not the way you handle it, is it? You go get the Terminator. We're going to terminate you guys. You don't beat yourself. See, the devil's the same way. He will tempt you to do something. Then you do it. Then he'll shame you for doing it and blame you. I mean, you, what's your fault? You did it. But point is, he's the one that thought the idea up. You got to learn not to beat yourself up, but also learn not to just accept things and allow them to live. God said, told Israel, don't allow any of those people remain in the land when you go in there. He says, if you do, you'll end up serving their gods. I don't know about you, but the anointing's more valuable to me than having my own way or letting my flesh have its pleasure. Amen. Hallelujah. Like I said, you know, I know it threw you off, and some of you, you may, I'm done with Pastor because his flesh wants to do things wrong sometimes. And well, you know, I'm just, you know, anybody that's honest with any preacher, I don't care how long, if he's Apostle Paul, he told us that. See, but what may tempt my flesh wouldn't tempt your flesh. See, every time I smell a cigar, my flesh will say, boy, you need one of them. I like the way cigars smell. Look at me. I like the way pipe tobacco smells. I'm not smoking it, right? I'm not letting my flesh do it. But I was like driving, it was last summer, I was driving down Burkhart. And this guy in front of me, he had to be smoking a hillbilly cigar. I mean, it was smoking the whole air. I mean, I'm like, I can't help but smoke it. I got to roll my window up here. I mean, my flesh is like, no, leave your window down. This is like getting a cigar by proxy. No. I'm not even going to give you that much enjoyment, flesh. No, you don't get that. Well, can't we at least turn the vents on? No. You don't get nothing. I was baptized for the remission of sin to be delivered. Hallelujah. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.